Long time ago, Kinalach was a chassid named Reb Leib Saras. And he was a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov. And he did a lot of secret things for the Baal Shem Tov. Most of the things that he did were so secret, we don't even know about them. Secret shlichus, helping Eden, but in secret ways. And when the Baal Shem Tov passed away, he became a chassid of the Mezritch Maggid. And he continued doing all kinds of secret things. Now, this is one of the stories we know about a secret thing that happened with Reb Leib Saras. You ready? One day, Reb Leib was in a marketplace in a town called Kobrin. And all of a sudden, he sees the leader of the Yidden in Kobrin. He was the leader of the city over there, like the mayor. And his name was Reb Binyamin. And his face was red. And he was very upset. And he looked like he was ready to cry. And he was coming to Reb Leib Saras because he saw him in the marketplace and he was so happy. And he said, "Reb Leib, I'm so happy that you came to Kobrin. I'm so happy to see you. Because I know that you're a Yid that likes to help other Yidden, and we are in very big trouble in Kobrin. In fact, every family, every man, woman, and child is in big danger right now, and we don't know what to do. Maybe you can help us." And Reb Leib Saras says, "Look, it's Hashem that has to help, but of course I'll do whatever I can." "What's wrong, Reb Binyamin?" And Reb Binyamin says like this. Now, I've told you many times, in Poland, in those days, there used to be a king, but the king was the king over the whole country, and each city had like a small king that was called a poetz. And he was like a king over the small city. And he did whatever he wanted, because the big king used to let him. As long as the little king behaved and paid money to the big king and listened to the laws of the big king, so the king was happy. And he let the poets do, you know, really whatever they wanted over their city. The poets owned the houses, and he owned the forests and the stores, and he owned the lakes and the parks, and he owned the whole city. And whoever lived there had to pay money to the poets. And if the poets got angry, the poets could do whatever he wanted. And some of the poets were okay, but a lot of them were very mean, especially to the Yidden. And there's a lot of stories about things that they did. Now in Kobrin, there used to be a poet named Count Yupinski. Now Count Yupinski was a very old man, and he was very nice to the Yidden. He used to say that if the Yidden lived somewhere, it was a bracha. Maybe he didn't use that word, but he knew that the Yidden, they learned Torah, and they davened, and they did mitzvahs, and they were close to Hashem. And he says, if Yidden do that, so wherever they live, there's going to be a special bracha. It's going to be like good luck. And he felt that since there was a lot of Yidden living on his land, that's why he lived to be so old, and he was feeling good, and his family, the children, and his wife were okay. And he used to say, it's because of the Yidden. Because the Yidden are special. They daven, and they learn, they do mitzvahs. And he was happy to have the Yidden, and he used to let the Yidden live there for free. He didn't even charge them any money. They could live in their house for free. They could live and take care of the land for free. Even their stores were for free, because he says, you're doing me more good than I'm doing you good. He was a special man. But then he got very, very old, and he died. And his son, also named Count Yupinski, took over his father's castle, and he took over his father's job being the poets. And now he was very different. instead of being careful with the money, he used to spend the money, make big parties, and buy all kinds of stuff for himself, and even waste money. And also he was a big troublemaker. And finally he said to himself, I need more money for more parties and more things I want to buy for myself. And his friends, other poets, has told him, you know where to get money? From the Jews. Make them to give you the money, or else tell them that you're going to throw them off the land. That's what we do. And so this Count Yupinski says to his friends, but my father, who died, he let the Jews live there for free for so many years. They never even paid him money. Oh, the friends said, do you have a good excuse for getting a lot of money? You know what you could do? Figure out how many years the Jews lived in your land for free. Tell them that you are now going to collect all that money, plus it's called interest, like the money, extra money, because you let them live there for free. And you're going to have to make them pay all that money, or else you're going to throw them off the land. And you're going to see how much money you're going to get real quick. And Count Yupinski now called all of his officers and his soldiers and his servants, and he told them, go out and tell the Jews in my land that they're going to have to pay me in 1 week all the money they owe me for my father. I'm charging them all that money plus extra money. And he figured out a bill for each family, and it came out to thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And they have exactly 1 week to get me that money, or else I'm going to throw them off the land. And in those days, if you got thrown out of your house, you were out in the snow and out in the cold, and you had nowhere to go, because it was very hard to find a place to go. And they put up these signs in the marketplaces and in the Jewish neighborhoods, and by the shuls, and it said exactly that, every Jew has to pay the bill that's going to come to his house from Count Yupinski, and he has to come up with the money, or else they're going to be thrown out. And of course, the Yidden were very, very, very scared of what's going to happen. They went to the shuls to say Tillim, and to give Tzedakah, and the Kinnaloch got together with the Rebbes, and they said Psukim, and the Mamis made Mani meetings, and the Tatis made Tati meetings, and the Bachri made Bachri meetings, and everybody was doing whatever they could to do tshuva and to take upon themselves hachlatos tovos, right? Like a birthday boy takes upon himself a hachlata teva, a good thing that's going to help him, right, Bob? Alti has a good hachlata also for his birthday. You want to tell us what it is? Like, he wants to do the maisa. And now Binyamin says to Reb Leib Sarez, we're doing everything we can, but if there's anything more we can do, because you're a big tzaddik and I know that you help people, if there's anything more we can do, please tell me, I'll do anything, because we only have a few days left, and who knows, maybe our davening didn't go up into the Shemayim. Maybe Hashem doesn't accept our davening in our tshuva. Maybe it's not enough. And we're in big danger. Leib Sarez says, I'm going to go to the castle and speak to the Count myself, Count Yupinski. And maybe I can do something. If not, I'll meet you back here, let's say in about 4 hours, and we'll figure out what to do. And Reb Leib Sarez went up the road to the castle of the Count. And Reb Binyamin says, are you sure you want to go to Count Yupinski? Everybody's so afraid of him, he's so mean. He screams and he yells. And he carries a big knife and he's got black dogs running around his castle. And he doesn't like Jews. And Reb Leib Sarez says, I'm going for Hashem to do a mitzvah. I'm not going to be afraid of a person, especially Count Yupinski. He's just a person, and everything is in Hashem's hands. And Reb Leib Sarez goes up the road to the castle, and the dogs are barking, and their big teeth are showing from behind the fence. And he goes over there to the guards by the fence, and the guards say, "Who are you?" He says, "My name is Reb Leib Saris, and I want to see Count Yupinski. It's very urgent. It's very, very important." And he looked right into their eyes, and they felt that they better let this man in. He seemed like a special man. And they let him through the gates, and he goes now through the doors by the servants, and he goes into there, into Count Yupinski's room where he's sitting by the table. And all of a sudden, Count Yupinski is very, very surprised to see a Jew. "What's a Jew doing in my house?" "Oh, you must have brought me the money from all the Jews. Okay, I'm ready to get all the money." And Reb Leib Saris says, "No, I didn't bring you any money, in fact. I only want to speak to you. Don't you know that your father was very nice to the Jews, because he said the Jews brought a special bracha to his land, and now you're the opposite, you're making so much trouble. Don't you know it's going to be good for you also if you let the Jews live there in peace and not make money and not make trouble for them? Why don't you just think about it, and if you want to charge them some money, be fair about it. But collect all the money from all the years and only give them 1 week, and tell them you're going to throw them out of their houses into the snow if they don't do it. This is very, very mean. And you should know that anybody that starts up with Jews in the end is going to suffer for it, because Hashem doesn't forgive them if they're going to make trouble for Jews. If you start up with a Yid, it's like starting up with Hashem. And this Count Yupinski is a big chutzpanyak, and he says, "Don't tell me any of this, because I don't believe a word of it. And I'll do whatever I want, just like my friends, the other poets do. They do whatever they want, and nobody bosses them around, except we have to give the king every once in a while a bag of gold. Don't tell me what to do." He says, "Oh, you know what? I have an idea. If you want a way out for the Jews, one idea just popped into my head." He says like this: "What I'm going to tell you now is a big secret, and you better not tell anybody, because if you do, you're in big trouble. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do now, and maybe if the Jews want to help me with this, then I will let them live on my land without paying." This is what now Count Yupinski says. He says, "Look, the king of Russia made himself to be the king also of Poland, because there was always these fights between Poland and Russia, and Russia and Poland, and Russia and Poland, and Poland and Russia, always fighting. Each one wants to be stronger, and each one wants to take over the other one. And finally, the king of Russia made himself to be so strong that his soldiers came into Poland, and they said, 'Everybody in Poland has to listen to the king of Russia. He's called the Tsar. Everyone in Poland has to listen to the Tsar. He's the king also of Poland now.' And the Russian soldiers came into Poland, and they made themselves to be the boss." And Count Yupinski says like this: "We poets of Poland don't want no Russians here. We don't want to listen to the Russian soldiers, and we don't want to listen to the Russian king, because the Russian king is not going to let us do whatever we want to do like the Polish king. The Polish king didn't care. We could do whatever we want. As long as we give the Polish king a bag of gold here and there, we can do whatever we want. Not so the Tsar of Russia. He might make trouble for us, and he might not let us do whatever we want. So me and my friends, all the poets of Poland, we're planning a war against the Tsar, against the king of Russia and his soldiers, and we're going to fight them, and we're going to kill them, and we're going to throw all of them out of Poland until they'll never come back here again. But it's going to be a surprise. It's a secret. We're going to fight them. All of a sudden, they're not going to know what hit them. But since there's so many soldiers from Russia over here, we're going to need a lot of men to fight. Us poets might not be enough against the soldiers of Russia. So we need even more people to help us. So if you Jews want to help us fight and kill Russian soldiers, then you will be allowed to live in your homes and you can be here and it won't make any trouble for you. But if you Jews do not agree to fight with us Polish Polacy, then you're going to have trouble. I'm going to collect all that money, and if not, I'll throw you out of the homes, out of your houses, and out of your stores, and out of everywhere, and you'll have to wander around in the snow with nowhere to go. And so what is your answer? And Reb Leib Saras, he says to Count Yupinski, he says, I'm sorry, but the Jews will not help you fight. What? Why not? Says Count Yupinski. And Reb Leib Saras says, because our Torah says that according to the Torah, we're supposed to listen to the king, that is the king, over the place we live. As long as he's not telling us to do anything against the Torah, if the king is the king, we have to listen to him. It says, Malchus Dina de Malchusa Dina. The law of the king is the law, and we have to listen to it. Of course, if the king says we're not allowed, Chas V'Shalom, to do something in Torah mitzvahs, then we listen only to Hashem. We don't listen to the king. But if the king is not telling us to do Avedas, then we have to listen to the king. And the king now is the Tsar of Russia and not the king of Poland. And Count Yupinski got very angry. And his face turned red. And he says, you Jews are going to suffer for this. It's going to be even worse for you than you think. Go away from my house, from my castle, and never come back again. And I'll see you Jews wandering around in the snow, or else I'll get, of course, all my money. And Reb Leib Saras turned around, and he wasn't afraid. You can see in his face. He wasn't afraid of Count Yupinski. He felt like he did everything he could. And he says, don't worry. Hashem is going to help us Jews. Hashem never let us down yet, and He'll never let us down now. Hashem helps us out of our troubles. You're not our boss. Hashem is our boss. Whatever Hashem wants, that's what's going to be. And Reb Leib Saras left the castle, and he went back. And a few hours later, of course, he had this meeting with Reb Binyamin, the leader of Kobrin. And Reb Binyamin said, what happened by the count? Did Count Yupinski change his mind? And Reb Leib Saras says, I've done everything possible, and you've done everything possible that we could with Count Yupinski. But from now on, Hashem has to help in a special way, because Count Yupinski is still very, very chutzpahdik and very, very mean. The Yidden have to keep on davening and saying Tehillim and giving tzedakah, and the Kinnaruch have to go on saying psukim and doing whatever they can to for tshuva. But now Hashem has to help with a special bracha. And it was getting close to Shabbos. And after Shabbos is the time that they have to either come up with the money or they have to be driven out of their homes. And Reb Leib Saras all of a sudden says to Binyamin, Binyamin, this Shabbos, don't spend it with your family, even though of course you want to, and that's what you should be doing. But this Shabbos, because we need a special help from the Shemayim, I'm going to send you on a secret mission. on a secret shlichus that you'll have to do on Shabbos. And you'll have to start out right away. You're going to go far into the forest. If you go home, you have to pack up 3 meals for Shabbos, enough food for the whole Shabbos. And I'm going to tell you where to go in the forest, far into the forest. And you're going to have to spend a couple of hours walking through the forest to get there. You're not allowed to tell anybody where you're going, what you did there, when you come back, what happened, anything, just me. And this is going to be a very big help for the Jews. And Rabbi Neumann said, I'll do anything I can to help my town. Okay, go home, pack up the things, and come back here, and I'll tell you what to do. Benjamin went home. He asked his wife, please pack me up food for three meals for Shabbos. He took wine and challahs and food. And he explained to his family that he has to go away for Shabbos in order to help the town. He came back to Rabbi Leib Sarris. And Rabbi Leib told him, way away in the forest is a little house. He explained how to get there. In that house lives an old man who's a broom maker. He makes brooms. Very poor old man and his wife. They will not be expecting you for Shabbos because they live so far away. They very, very rarely have any orchim and they're very poor. So they don't have any food except for themselves. That's why I'm saying you should bring your own food. They will not probably even have an extra bed because they're very poor. You'll sleep outside on a bench. And over there, you'll spend Shabbos with them. And Hashem will help. And he didn't say anything more to Rabbi Neumann. Rabbi Neumann understood that if he does what Rabbi Leib Sarris says, everything is going to be okay. Even though he doesn't quite understand what the old broom maker who lives in the forest has to do with saving the town and Count Yupinski. But since Rabbi Leib Sarris, he knew, is a very big tzaddik, so he went and he did what Rabbi Leib Sarris said, and he set out to go into the forest very, very far as Shabbos was coming closer and closer. And he got to the place just as the sun was beginning to go down. He came to this little old house in the middle of the forest, way, way far away. And he went over to the door and he saw a mezuzah on the door. And the door was partway open. He knocked on the door and he sees a very old woman who is by the stove putting up the blech. She turns around and she sees the stranger, Rabbi Neumann. She says, I'm very sorry. I don't have anything for you for Shabbos. What should we do? You're in the middle of the forest. He says, don't worry. I have my own food. All I want to do is spend Shabbos with you, if I can. She says, all right. You can spend Shabbos here if you have your own food. She says, we don't have a bed for you to sleep in. He says, don't worry, I'll sleep outside on the bench. And just as he was speaking to the old woman, all of a sudden an old man came outside. He was walking from the forest, and on his shoulder he was carrying a big bundle of sticks, the kind that you make brooms out of. And he looked over at Rabbi Neumann, and he didn't look surprised. Just like he was expecting him or something, but he didn't say anything. He puts down the big bundle of sticks, and he goes over to the well of water, and he washes himself up for Shabbos, because that's coming in a few minutes. And Rabbi Neumann also washed himself up for Shabbos, because he went to the forest and was all shvitzi. And Shabbos came. And they davened in the little house, in the little house was this very simple table with a few chairs, a little stove, and the beds, and that's it. And Reb Binyamin was wondering, what is going on with this very simple broom maker and his wife, and I should come here for Shabbos? I don't understand. I want to explain to them why I'm here, but they don't seem to be really asking me any questions. They're just davening for Shabbos, and then they made Kiddush, they ate a Shabbos Suda, and the old man and woman benched, and he understood that he better bench too because he wanted to go to sleep, and he went outside and he went to sleep on the bench. He didn't explain what he's doing there. They didn't ask him what he's doing in the middle of the forest, all of a sudden showing up for Shabbos. They seem like very simple people. But he knew that Reb Leib Sarra sent him there for a reason. And since he was tired from the whole day, he fell asleep on the bench. In the middle of the night, all of a sudden, Reb Binyamin woke up because he heard sounds. He thought he was dreaming. He heard the most beautiful nigunim singing like malachim. It sounded like a malach singing in the himmel. It was so beautiful. The most beautiful nigunim he'd ever heard. He says, am I dreaming? Am I really hearing such a beautiful voice and such nice nigunim? And he opened his eyes and he looked and he saw the house he was next to, little house, and it was full of light, just like many candles were burning. He looked in the window and he saw the old man, the broom maker, was sitting at the table and he was singing the most beautiful nigunim, and the house was full of the light without candles burning, as if the light was coming by itself. He felt so halik. And the old man went and took out a few svarim and he started learning in the most beautiful kind of a voice, and he was such on fire from the learning, and Reb Leib saw that this was a very big tzaddik. It must be a hidden tzaddik from the Lamed Vav tzaddikim, that there are 36 hidden tzaddikim in the world, and because of their schools, the whole world is standing. And nobody knows who they are. Every generation, even now, there are 36 tzaddikim that nobody knows, nobody guesses. Nobody even knows that they're even sometimes a special person. They could be like a very simple person, and really they're the big tzaddikim. They're always doing special halakhic things, and they're all secret. This must be one of the hidden tzaddikim who lives in the forest and nobody knows about him. And Reb Binyamin felt that because he's in such a special place with such a big tzaddik, this is going to be how Hashem is going to help his town. You go to a big tzaddik, you be near a big tzaddik, and there's all kinds of brachas in the place he is. There's all kinds of special things that happen by being near a big tzaddik. And so the rest of the Shabbos went by with davening and eating the simple Shabbos food as they had and saying Tehillim. And a very quiet Shabbos. Now Reb Binyamin didn't want to tell the broom maker all about the trouble in Kobrin because he felt maybe it's going to ruin his Shabbos, because it's sad that Count Yupinski wants to chas v'shalom do all this trouble. Is a very sad thing. He doesn't want to talk about it on Shabbos. On Shabbos you're supposed to talk about happy, halakha things, and don't talk about sad things and troubles. Forget your troubles on Shabbos. And so Reb Binyamin was waiting till after Havdalah, and he's going to tell the broom maker all about what's going on, why he came out to the forest for Shabbos. And finally Shabbos ended, and they davened Ma'ariv, and they made Havdalah. And right after Havdalah, the Yomim went over to the brewmaker, and he was about to tell him the whole thing, when the brewmaker smiled, a big smile, and he says, "Listen, Hashem has already listened to the davening of the people of Kobrin, and all of their tshuva, and all of their tehillim, and the kinnalah who gathered in the shuls. And don't worry, Hashem has already decided to help the Jews of your town. So go back, and everything is going to be okay. And thank you for coming out here to spend Shabbos with my wife and I. We haven't had an oroch in a long time." And Rabbi Yonan realized that this was truly a great tzaddik, because he knew what was happening even without saying a word. And furthermore, he knew that Hashem had listened and accepted the davening of the people already. He knew everything without even saying a word, like a real tzaddik. There's many stories how people went for dollars. They didn't say a thing to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe told them things. Special things that the Rebbe knew exactly what was happening to them. This is a great tzaddik, you know. He can look at you and know all kinds of things because he has Ruach HaKodesh.